1996 to 2001, Jamie Lee Hamilton founded and ran Grandma's House, a nonprofit center serving the needs of sex trade workers in Vancouver's downtown East Side. Hamilton has long garnered public attention in advocating for sex trade workers in the area, as well as bringing attention to the harrowing missing women's case. Hamilton serves as board secretary for the Downtown East Side Residents Association and is also the founder of Change the Code, a national lobby group advocating for reform to the criminal code concerning prostitution law. In 1996, Hamilton ran for Vancouver City Council, and in 2000, federally for the Green Party. More recently, she worked on the federal Liberal Shirley Chan's election campaign in Vancouver East. With that, a blog was born, where Hamilton writes about politics in the Downtown East Side. The blog, which you can find at downtowneastside.blogspot.com, gained an invaluable plug for Malcolm Perry in his column in the Vancouver Sun. As well, Hamilton is involved with Wayward Democracy, a group that is campaigning against the institution of wards for municipal elections. Also, Hamilton is a consultant on a book called She's No Lady, to be published by Cormorant Books in October. It's a biography, and its subject, Jamie Lee Hamilton, joins me now on the line. Welcome to the commentary.ca, Jamie Lee Hamilton. Good afternoon, Jamie Lee.
Hello there, Joseph. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on. The blog, was that something you sort of fell into, or was that something that you wanted to do from the beginning, or?
Well, I've always sort of dabbled in writing. I like writing to my friends, and friends told me that they enjoyed reading me, and so I thought, yeah, I think I could put it to good use. While I was working on Shirley Chan's campaign, it was really born from that campaign, and I've continued on with it.
Why did you choose to support Shirley Chan, by the way? Was that...
Well, Shirley's family and mine go way back. Shirley Chan and her mother were very involved in saving Strathcona, a neighborhood I grew up in and live in. And I don't know if you remember the freeway fight where government wanted to put a freeway right through Strathcona, and that's how I came to know Ms. Chan. Also, while she was working as the chief political aide to Mayor Mike Harcourt, while he was mayor of Vancouver, I also reconnected with her and found her just to be a woman who characterized values that I adhere to in my life, and so I had this long-standing connection with her.
It didn't matter that she ran for the federal Liberals, and the sort of she was given the nomination by Palmer, and that had nothing to do with it, with you supporting her.
Well,
or that did influence it. Sorry.
First, Shirley did stand for nomination, and she was acclaimed as the candidate for Vancouver East. I tend to support individuals rather than parties. If I believe in someone and their record has reinforced their character and their positions, then I tend to look favorably on that.
And Libby Davies is not one of those?
Well, oh no, Miss Davies has a stellar reputation, no question about it. But, you know, it was a difficult decision for me. I also believe, I don't care which party you belong to, that you can make a career out of politics. And then at some point, I think you do become part of the status quo, and as one that challenges often the status quo, I kind of thought it was a natural fit that my support would go towards Ms. Chan over Libby Davies.
We sort of have this perception of the Downtown East Side that they, you know, that they would vote a certain way, and that the NDP would be the party of choice. Obviously, for you, that's not, you don't fall into line with that.
Well, I don't believe in falling into line just because someone tells you to do something. I think you have to make value-based judgments. You have to study issues. And ultimately you're answerable to yourself and where you feel most comfortable. So my mother was an honorary life member of the NDP, highest honor that could be bestowed on a member. Mayor Mike Harcourt, as premier of the NDP, bestowed her that honor. And my father was, I'd say, left of the NDP. As a matter of fact, he belonged to the Communist Party. So I, but also my politics, I became aware of Pierre Elliott Trudeau when I was at a young age. And, of course, I admired his positions on certain issues. So I think I have a blend of the three, and I always take the best in people and try to model myself after those individuals.
Obviously, Shirley Chan didn't win, so are you happy with the representation that the Downtown East Side is getting, whether it's in Ottawa, Victoria, or at Cambie and 12th?
Well, certainly the Downtown East Side is a neighborhood in crisis and has been for a very long time. I find that the Downtown East Side is treated as a ward. There's, one could say, with all the numerous associations and organizations, that there's a fair amount of representation. And however, I don't see people's lives improving down here. And I think that is a direct result that there doesn't seem to be accountability. We have programs that are not effective, and there's a lot of dead wood.
Representation, as you wrote about this in your blog, and Charlie Smith did a piece about this in the Georgia Strait, about Vancouver Kingsway in particular. And you've talked about women and minorities in politics. Obviously, there aren't as many women, and there aren't as many minorities in political life. And when the story came out that Adrian Dix was to run for the nomination in Vancouver Kingsway, you obviously raised a flag about that.
Yes, I did. I happen to like the candidate that ran there last
That's
time.
That's the Alicia Barcelo.
Alicia Barcelo, who's a very strong female warrior, and she has brought issues forward, I think, that affect ordinary citizens. She's championed the rights of union workers. She has stood on the front lines for women's equality. She has also gave voice to those in society who are often left voiceless, and I'm talking about marginal minority communities. And so I think in politics, the part about politics I don't like is power politics, where people treat it as a blood sport, that they go into it because they may not necessarily want to work collaboratively in finding solutions to community and neighborhoods that need assistance, but they're in the business of politics for the sake of political power.
So in Kingsway, that would be Adrian Dix and his support from the unions.
Well, certainly I have concerns over Mr. Dix challenging Ms. Barcelo. Yes, I do.
I talked to David Schreck about an hour ago, and he said that he was talking to Adrian Dix via email, and he said that he thought that Dix would not run in Vancouver Kingsway. So I don't know if that's latest, or if that's obviously he hasn't closed the door. That's what Shrek told me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know, I think Mr. Dix is obviously has polling going on. He wants to first find out if he has the number
test the water.
Yeah, to secure the nomination, and then further is that riding winnable? Because I suspect he's the type of individual that wants to make sure he can win first before putting his name forward.
On your blog, which we'll give the address again, downtowneastside.blogspot.com,
yes.
You have your most recent piece is a lengthy piece on the Jeff Berg situation and the Jeff Berg case. I'm not up to date on that, so I'm going to try to sum that up, and you correct me if I'm wrong. Jeff Berg was taken into custody by the Vancouver police, was he? He was suspected of participating in a robbery?
That's the allegation.
And then, made
by the Vancouver Police Department.
And so while in custody, he was beaten up, was he, or?
Well, he was killed.
He was killed. Okay, but the official line is that he suffered blows to the head, and these blows obviously came from the people who were holding him. That's the police department. His sister Julie Berg has now been. I heard her on with Sherelle Tobin on Monday, talking about either suing the department, is she, or?
Well, I am not certain where her next move will take her, but I would assume that she would.
She's calling for an inquest or something like that. On
yes, unfortunately, the police complaints commissioner can only recommend to the Solicitor General of the province of British Columbia the need for a public inquiry. All other previous calls for public inquiry have always been turned down by the Solicitor General, who is Rich Coleman of the BC Liberal Party. The Police Complaints Commissioner can order a public hearing, and that's what he's done. However, in terms of it having any standing, it doesn't really. A public inquiry would have far greater ramifications.
And so Ms. Berg has called on Police Chief Graham to resign, has she?
Yes, she has.
Is that something that you echo in your blog as well?
I think Chief Graham's comment that he has overstepped the law, and with that, I might suggest, and I think I have, that Mr. Graham apologize and recognize the errors of his way.
Now, these are the comments where he sort of vilifies Jeff Berg, right?
Yes.
Okay. Your thoughts on the Vancouver Police Department? You obviously live in the downtown east side, so you know probably better than most just the effect that the police department has on your neighborhood, on your community. When I heard Julie Berg with Sherelle Tobin, she was talking about how this is sort of a cycle, that Jeff Berg is not only the only case. He's not unique, and that there are incidences of police brutality by this police department. The Stanley Park Six, the list goes on.
Let us not forget the downtown east side missing now, known as murdered women.
Mm-hmm. Right. So has the police department been effective in protecting the residents of the downtown east side, I guess is my question.
Well, you know, that's very difficult to answer. I think the police, first off, I want to say that there are many, many wonderful police officers that work very hard and do amazing work within the community of the downtown east side.
I think I would concur with that as
yeah.
well, I think.
Are there...
bad apples?
Are there bad apples? Absolutely. Like in any community. But ideally, we should have checks and balances to ensure that we become wise to wrongdoing, and that no bureaucracy should be given free rein to just act in its own interest. And I think the Vancouver Police do, because we don't have an elected police board. And so they're accountable to no one.
So Larry Campbell, then, I guess, is the point man in this, and he's come out publicly defending Police Chief Graham. You have your thoughts on Larry Campbell. I'd be interested if you'd share those.
Well, Mayor Campbell, he has to remember that he's the mayor of Vancouver. He's also, of course, the chair of the police board. We didn't elect a police member to serve as mayor. elected individual who we believe could lead this city politically. And Mr. Campbell has been a disappointment. He and his champion in joining the chorus of Chief Graham in vilifying Jeff Berg is obscene.
Did you vote for Larry Campbell in 2002, or may I ask
well,
that question?
You know, my vote's a private.
No, I understand.
Private thing, but certainly I met Mr. Campbell way back in '91 over an individual who was murdered.
This was when he was the chief coroner, was he?
He was regional coroner. He wasn't the chief yet.
Okay.
And so I admire what he articulated that he stood for. But having, and yes, I suspected that he would be a powerful presence as mayor of the city of Vancouver, but watching him in action has been disappointing.
Are you a member of COPE by any chance, or is that?
No.
But you did, I have
I once belonged to COPE. Like my parents before me, they were involved with the committee to elect Harry Rankin, which was the predecessor to COPE. And so I became involved in COPE in 1982 or 84. Sue Harris, who worked with the Downtown Eastside Residents Association, encouraged me to become re-involved.
Now, you had a blog recently. I believe COPE had their annual general meeting,
mm-hmm.
and you talked about the dichotomy that resides within COPE, the so-called COPE Classic, the Fred Basses, the Tim Lewis's, and Roberts, and then the sort of COPE Lights, the Larry Campbell's, the Tim Stevenson's, the Raymond Louis's.
Yes.
What is this split there between the COPE Council and the mayor? Is that people that?
Well, I look at it from a perspective of the COPE traditionalists versus the COPE opportunists, and the traditionalists adhere to what the party has always stood for and its policy, as articulated by the likes of people like Bruce Erickson, City Councilor Bruce Erickson, and Harry Rankin, and Bruce York, and the opportunists have used the COPE brand to gain office, but then have acted more often than not like the Nonpartisan Association or the Art Phillips
team. Is there a contention within COPE about the institution of wards, or is that something that they're sort of united on?
Well, I think they're united on that issue. I'm sure there's probably some concerns that there's no financing reform being presented as part of the package, but I suspect that they're going to campaign very hard on winning wards for Vancouver.
And you belong to Wayward Ward?
Yes, I have major concerns. I guess my position would be not yet. I think there's too many outstanding issues that need to be addressed within the governance model of civic politics. One area that really greatly concerns me, everybody recognizes that civic governance is closest to the people, but yet it has the lowest rate of involvement, and I'm not sure why that is. COPE's going to say it's because we don't have a ward system. However, I don't feel that's necessarily true. My concern, though, are that we will create Vancouver into 14 mini-cities, and certainly the downtown east side, where I live, has been treated like a ward, as a ward, for quite some time, and we see the mess.
obviously you're not favoring wards, but you also think that this current system needs improving as well, the at-large system?
Yes, absolutely. I don't believe that the at-large is 100% defensible either.
Now, Wayward Democracy,
yes.
Sorry, that's the name of the group.
Yes.
You belong to that. Who else is with you in that
endeavor? There's a number of individuals. I don't know if they want their names disclosed, but one of our key members is Jennifer Campanolo, who's the daughter of Iona Campanolo.
I see. Now, is this not the same thing then that Sam Sullivan has the?
No, but we are part of Sam Sullivan's coalition, as members of the Green Party are members of the Liberal Party, as members of the NDP are. It's a wide spread coalition. Sam himself believes in the at-large system, and however, I take a position between wards and at-large.
So
that's Wayward.
So this will go to a referendum, I believe, in the fall, will it? Or
yes, it's planned for October 16th for a vote. In previous referendums in Vancouver have very poor turnout. When we switched from a wards system to at large, there was only a 19% turnout, and you know, that's really, really too low to be engaging in electoral reform.
Now, the Olympic referendum, that was the number, weren't the numbers high on that?
Yes, the numbers were higher for that, and I think where there's money involved, there's always
people going to the polls, I guess, right?
Yes. The smell of money does things to people.
Will this campaign, I guess, for the referendum, this will obviously divide the city, I suppose, will it not?
It will. It will. It's really too bad, because we have the Citizens Assembly undertaking a democratic process in the province, and I think this city referendum is too soon. That we should be waiting to hear too from the Citizens Assembly what their findings are from the public regarding electoral systems. And I think it's premature. I think we could, at the time of the 2005 civic election, place the question on the ballot, are citizens in favor of changing the electoral system?
Rather than do it this fall.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the biography. That's coming out when, in October, is it?
October, scheduled for release.
And you go into your background and your life in that, or?
Oh, yes, definitely. It's a very open account of circumstances in my life, my history, some of the happenings.
We hope you'll come on and talk about that when the book comes out.
Sure.
You don't have any political aspirations, do you, to run again or
no,
run an election in May?
You know, I like to affect change. In whatever vehicle I use, I'm always happiest, somewhat being a maverick, because I can't be just boxed into one sort of brand fits all,
right.
And so it's I think in times of political office it's difficult, but like everybody else, I'm never going to say never. There's issues that are important to me at the civic level. As I age, I find that parks related issues are really, really important to me, and especially as it pertains to down here in the downtown east side.
The blog is downtowneastside.blogspot.com. I highly suggest folks to read that, because it's, as I told you before in an email that we exchanged, that we don't hear much from the downtown east side, and we don't hear what voices and what political thoughts they have, and so I think your blog is a good example of one way of getting in tune with the neighborhood and with the region. So I highly recommend it. Jamie Lee Hamilton, thank you for for joining us.
Thank you very much, Joseph, for having me on.
We hope to call on you again, and perhaps when the book comes out in October.
For sure. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
This segment was produced by yours truly with Richie Leung and Vishal Durr for thecommentary.ca. I'm Joseph Plana.